side joint. Ooh, cult side joint.
Hello, Miss Ameren, and welcome everyone to Cult Side Join. How are you this evening?
Hello. It's evening where we are, everybody.
It's evening where we are. Spoiler alert. I'm sleepy. That's probably a new one. I am very sleepy today, but I know that the discussion will just wake me right up, as it always does. So,
Definitely will. So don't worry about that.
I thought so.
Speaking of your sleepiness, I've been obsessed with a new thing this week. Maybe it's not new to other people, but so I've been working on calming my son's anxieties this week. They're kind of coming up for him newly because he's going into preteen years, and I think what he's doing is getting hit with hormones. But anyway, so I've been like looking for things that are like uber calm and peaceful, and I've become obsessed with those videos. Tell me if you've seen these, Ameren. It's little videos of a little crocheted frog living a very cozy little life. Have you seen them?
I already know what you mean.
I've seen them and I love them. It's all I care about. It's all I care about. And anytime I'm stressed, I'm like, whatever. I'm a crocheted frog.
I'm just a little crocheted frog. So it doesn't matter in the end, ultimately.
I'm going to make a tiny little pie.
That's exactly
right. Did you guys hear that meow?
Did you guys hear a little meow? That was Aaron's cat being kicked out of the premises. It was already we're on warning notice. And then that was a final protest as I threw her lightly from the desk because she was desperate to say something into the mic, which she got her way.
It was pretty cute, yeah.
It was cute, but
well, she wanted her butthole to be a part of it, and it was.
She did, and anybody that knows Sunny or has ever been in a video call with Sunny knows that she needs to be front and center unless you kind of draw a line with her. So that's what we were doing. That was just a little discipline line so that she doesn't think she's the star of this particular episode.
That's nice.
I don't think she is this time.
Well, she thinks she is, and that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. I admire the confidence. I could learn something, I think.
I found my remaining cat scout in the laundry today, like in the laundry basket inside of the laundry.
So
I thought, again, like that's a very crocheted frog thing to choose. What a nice little place to take a nap.
Vibe match for sure. Mm-hmm. That's the right energy that we're looking for here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was asleep on my new. I'm very excited. I got a new Free People dress. There's a half of half store in my town, and then I got a half off coupon plus 20% on the half of half dress. Anyway, it was $400, and it ended up being $40, and I've been staring at it for weeks.
Oh my goodness! Congratulations.
That's the dress my cat was asleep in, but I'm not even mad because Free People stuff is supposed to look like a cat slept on it.
So. Exactly. It adds to the legitimacy of the look. So I actually think you're lucked out here.
What am I, teal swan? It's better if it's dirty.
Precisely. You're not trying to brainwash anybody. No.
Call back, teal swan.
She's everywhere. Honestly, you can never fully get away.
Ooh, speaking of which, okay, so getting into our episode already, we are on a part two today. So guys, I don't get to like make Ameren play trivia today, but I still have a trivia question for you, Ameren, because speaking of bumping back into Teal Swan is not the answer to my question.
Okay.
We are going to, there's going to be some cult crossover today. Can you guess what cult we're going to be bumping back into? Because it is this is the herpes of the cult world, the glitter of the cult world. This is the one that never goes away. It keeps on coming back. It crosses paths with all the other cults. I don't know how it's so prolific, but can you guess what cult we're at? Rantha.
Okay.
Which is current.
Yeah.
What cult are we going to bump into in cult socializing today?
My God. And when is this?
Right now. This is current.
Oh,
well, I mean, you know, give it 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Well, actually, this interaction, I'm sorry, was in like 2012, 2010,
okay.
Maybe even. It's in the early 20s, the aughts. You can say you don't know, but I think
I don't know. I probably will know when you say it, but I don't know from this conversation point, I'll say.
Ameren, get ready to welcome back our favorite NXIVM.
Oh my God. Okay, that's hilarious. It's
they're making an appearance.
I listen, I'm not thinking about them right now, if you'll recall. I've gone to a total blackout space with them in my mind, and it's full delusion there where they don't exist. So I could never have gotten that answer correct is the problem.
Ugh, guys, if you're not on the Patreon, then you may not know that we had to do. So we did we covered The Vow season one in our season one. We covered The Vow season two in our season two. Up until The Vow season two, we were really into NXIVM stuff. And then The Vow season two just like broke us in half, crushed our souls. It's it's a really good documentary, but it's very hard to watch. It's excruciating to see what these people do to each other. It's not even, here's the thing. The horrible things that NXIVM did to each other are, again, the word banal comes to mind, because they're not the branding. Branding is sensational. It got all the headlines, right?
Right.
But like promising somebody a baby until they're in their 50s and they've missed their childbearing years isn't sensational, That's what they did. And I got to tell you, if I had to choose between being forcibly branded or losing my childbearing years, it's an easy choice for me.
Yeah. It's not a really difficult. No, it's not difficult.
So it was these like dark, but like relatively quote boring, as in not like headline drawing things about NXIVM that was just really soul crushing. So anyway, get on over to the Patreon for $5 a month. You guys can also get dragged through 6 hours of NXIVM, The Vow season two. It is worth knowing. And then we've got some really great coverage. We're doing The Garden right now, which we covered before. It was cool. I just want to say, by the way, this garden is having in real life, in real time, a spring gathering next month that I may see about going to. A lot of my friends are going. And so I would have a nice meetup there. It's at the Tennessee one, not the Missouri one. So
That'd be very interesting. Get a little intel, perhaps.
I did a MapQuest thing. It was like 8 hours for me. So that's the hold up. All right. Anywho, onward to Rantha, and by way of Rantha, NXIVM.
All right.
We're getting there. Good. Okay. So we talked last week about what the school is, who Rantha is, and who Jay-Z Knight is. Both they're sharing one body, but they're two very different personalities.
It's true.
Yeah. Both of them cash the same checks, for clarity.
Yes. Yeah. But they're distinct. It seems distinctly separate at this point from what we've discussed.
Yes. Yeah. So, all right. So we know we've got the foundation down. Now we're going to get into it. So first, Amron, we are moving right into the school. So let's go inside behind the closed doors and see what a day at Rantha is like. First of all, I just want to say, because again, like, people are often pretty down on the word cult and Rantha, you know, I'm never going to designate anybody all or nothing with cults, but Rantha is often called a cult for obvious reasons. And so I just want to clarify, because people are so down on people inside of these movements, that statistically, Rantha students are thoughtful and well-educated people. They are not apt to embrace gurus and silly flights of fancy and some of the bad speech that gets tied to Rantha later. They tend to be an NPR crowd. People who are getting into Rantha. So I just want to say that up front, because people are so quick to be like, well, I mean, how stupid do you have to be or whatever? Like, the answer is not very stupid, because
not stupid at all.
Who are into Rantha. And I think that translates to me, because a couple of things that stand out about Rantha that would make it easier to fall into than other quote cults. To me, the biggest one is that you don't live there, right? So like, you just go take classes with Rantha, which, now, that was true of NXIVM too, except you kind of did live there, ultimately, is what we found out. And it's people who took NXIVM classes didn't have any problems with NXIVM. People who moved into the weird suburb,
that's where things got really dicey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is a place where people, other than the staff who live on site, then again, they're staff, so they're kind of behind the curtain, not in the group necessarily.
Right.
To me, that makes it stand out as like not scary to join up with, as opposed to somebody who's like, sell your house and come live here. So I think that's a difference about Rantha from the get-go. Not that other people don't have this model, but it keeps a lot of the scariness of a cult at bay. Anyway, I just thought, you know, I thought before I get into like how effing wacky this is, I wanted to clarify that I'm not talking about the people specifically, and I don't want people to prejudge who these people are that are in this at their core. All right.
Okay.
So the blonde on stage, as we know, the person at the middle of it is Jay-Z Knight. She is in semi-retirement at this point, but for the most part in all of the history, she's been obviously the centerpiece, the focal reason for everything, because she's the one standing up there channeling this 35,000-year-old god who smokes a pipe and man spreads, we learned.
Yeah.
And is unfamiliar with televisions, but quite comfortable with casinos are things that we know.
Nice. Yeah.
Yes.
And he talks just a little weird, which is a nice
little weird.
Not that weird. Not weird enough. Not
right.
Not weird enough. It's really just in the opposite of a sweet spot, I'd say. A sticky middle. Go on.
Right. Yes, that's perfectly described. And so Knight goes kind of back and forth between speaking as herself and then channeling Rantha, which is interesting too, that Rantha would be so in and out, but I guess who am I to say? So,
well, he's got things to do, you know, when you're as old as this guy is, you don't have time to just mess around all the time being channeled.
No.
So I get it.
No.
I get
the man's
part.
Not a spring chicken, and he's probably, mm-hmm. if anyone else watches the television show Ghosts and enjoys that, he's probably spending some of his free time watching that thing which we call television, because it's probably new and exciting to him.
Madam, perhaps this be the truth.
Good channeling. That was really good. Okay.
Thank you. I have a promising future.
You really do. Give it some thought. Think about it. Map something out. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I don't have the stamina to run a cult like this. I don't want to do this job. This seems like a terrible job.
It asks a lot.
I don't want to commit to the bit.
No, I am being real. I absolutely do not want to commit to the bit. And that's a very important line.
Mm-mm. No, I'll just keep making my nonprofit, my sweet, sweet nonprofit money. Okay. All right. So during the 1989 remodel that turned the stalls and breeding facilities, we're going to go over a little bit of the history again here, but we're getting into what it feels like inside the group. So I said this in the history, but we're getting you inside the big classroom, which is the giant horse arena. That's the big classroom.
Okay.
Turned the stalls and breeding facilities into offices. This became that space became the auditorium. It's decorated with symbols and banners, much like many of the Christian churches you go to, right? Where they've got all those big banners on the wall and Jehovah this and Jireh that. And so that's what's going on in there, except it's like a mishmash. It's a mishmash. I'm sorry. I'm going to digress one more time and just say, have you seen the movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Yes, I have.
Right. So the point where, Sarah Marshall is yelling at her British boyfriend and Aldous Snow, and she's breaking up with him. She's like, none of your tattoos go together. They are conflicting ideologies.
Yes. A very prescient burn for many, I feel.
I think about this constantly because I see people's tattoos that do this, but I think about it in new agey places like this too.
Yes.
Just that scene always.
That's hilarious. Such a good point. So
bullshit,
good.
Bullshit, bullshit. Yeah. All right. So she's got banners everywhere. They've got varying conflicting ideologies of religiosity.
Proudly.
Yes. No shame in their game. On one end, there's a reproduction of Michelangelo's The Creation of Adam fresco from the Sistine Chapel next to a blue figure of the Hindu god Shiva. Diagrams outline the seven sections of the light spectrum, not just X-ray and infrared, but also the infinite unknown past the gamma rays. A painting of Knight proclaims, you can do anything. The key is focus.
So
that's
okay.
It. We're done
promising.
Here. That will be $2,000. Taped rectangles. Okay, so this makes sense. Taped rectangles on the AstroTurf floor. Oh, they got AstroTurf. That's nice.
Oh, a little touch, a little finesse, if you
will. I like it. Well, it feels outdoorsy, but it's not. There's no ticks. I'm there. I'm with you.
I see
Taped rectangles on the AstroTurf floor, each big enough for a yoga mat, surround the stage where Knight as Rantha appears. On the opposite wall, a Nike Just Do It banner hangs. Again, conflicting ideologies.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yes, yes. And they're also recording all the lectures because that's more content that they resell later. Smart ladies, smart. Okay. From her vantage point from the recording studio, the recording engineer says that she can catch a glimpse of the 7-foot shadow of Rantha when he's speaking through night, which is that was some true believer shit right there.
Magic, isn't it? Wow. He's like the little guy in The Wizard of Oz.
They should do that. It would be silly, but cool.
I'm down. I'm down. Yes.
I just heard a scream, but I think it's Solace dying virtually. Okay, sorry. We're back in the podcast.
You got to listen. You got to You got to have a second.
Just a minute. I don't hear any follow-ups.
Just a safety tune. Okay. All right. Very good. Excellent.
Yeah, back at Rantha. We're back on the ranch. Rantha usually inhabits night before entering the auditorium. So night gets into character slash leaves her body entirely and is filled with Rantha. I could have said that better. Then may lecture for hours seated in the middle or pacing around the stage. Tables for simultaneous translators line one wall, ready to render Rantha's words immediately into French, Italian, Chinese, German, and up to 13 other languages for their international audiences. 850 students can fit into this place. The gender split among students favors women. That's not a big surprise, I don't feel like.
No, not really. I wouldn't think.
You know what's interesting? Again, a digression, but that's what y'all are here for. In communes, the gender split heavily leans male. But I've noticed that, like, in spiritual things that you don't move into, they always skew female. But in places that you actually move into, they skew heavily male. Like, many communes have, well, almost all communes have, like, a gender balance that they won't go past. It's usually in the range of 60-40. And so they have to just have a wait list for males pretty regularly. I have some theories on why men are more available to leave their lives than women are, but for another podcast.
Definitely a lot of speculation that could be done there. We'll do a study at some point, but that is a very interesting observation.
Spoiler alert, I've personally done the study. And I have some answers bearing out from my own life. Okay. Beginning students undergo a 6-day retreat. So you're kind of your first step in, your toe in the water after you've done the online content and read the books is a 6-day retreat. That's the beginner retreat. Camping on the lawns or sleeping on the yoga mats in the auditorium. I would pick sleeping on the yoga mat in the auditorium. What would you pick, Emran?
Probably the lawns. I think probably the lawns. Yeah. That's probably what I'd be into myself.
Okay, nice, nice. So we wouldn't be neighbors.
That's okay. That's
fine. We'll check in the morning.
We'll check in easy.
Prices pre-pandemic ranged around $450 each class, and now they run about $720 each class. So,
oh gosh, okay,
yeah,
that's a hefty inflation.
It is, along with milk and butter. Besides hearing from Rantha, attendees do mental exercises meant to strengthen the mind toward clairvoyance. They're big on clairvoyance. A teacher hides a picture of an object and students sketch what they sense, a cat or a tree or a glass of wine. Training continues outdoors in fields. Now we're getting into it. Training continues outdoors in fields that are ringed with white fences. Blindfolded students, they're big on blindfolds too, try to focus their way toward a specific index card taped at random somewhere on a fence post. They say it's about the manifestation and the journey, like you're moving toward your destiny and you're learning to trust yourself. Also, they have a maze, like an outdoor walking maze that you also have to navigate that blindfolded. This is supposed to teach students to focus their mind and not their eyes. And they have, I mentioned this before, blindfolded archery.
That I've been waiting for it to come back around. Okay.
Yes, it's what it sounds like. It's archery with a blindfold on.
Love.
So unsafe and terrifying. Yes. Do I want to do it? Also, yes.
I do. Yes. Sounds very fun to me.
I don't want to watch other people do it. That doesn't sound
fun. That sounds like something I would not be down for at all, unless there was a single other person and that was it. I can't imagine myself being okay with that.
Yes, yes. So as we know, most of Rantha's exercises, even things like this, which don't seem specific to her, are trademarked because she's real big on the trademarking. One theme emerges from all of this, and that is human consciousness and energy creating your reality, which we've talked about before. So the theme of all the exercises comes back to constantly reinforcing the idea that that energy is malleable and can be used and directed as a tool in any direction for anything without limits, and that your own ability to manifest can be like supercharged by focusing.
Okay. Well, yes. I mean, there are elements I'm very into, as we discussed last week, but obviously they're losing me at whole overall.
One of their catchphrases is, it's not about worshiping a god, it's about being one.
Okay, now we're getting into some more intense stuff. Okay. Yes.
So now we're getting into it. Students test their newfound focus at local casinos. We talked about this last time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We did,
oh, right. Because we talked about the manifesting. Yeah. So they do hit the casinos regularly trying to manifest slot machine wins or scratch tickets. Because as we talked about, right, the idea of winning, manifesting winning on a scratch ticket or a slot machine is exactly the same. It's that you're in flow. And so you're going to know, just like you can hit an arrow blindfolded, or you can walk through the maze blindfolded, or you can walk through the circle and find the thing. You have gotten into flow with the universe. And when you are in flow, you will walk up to the slot machine. Because, you know, slot machines are just, it's the 750th time, whatever that is, right? Like, that's going to be the jackpot. But now you're in flow. So you're going to be the person who sits down the 750th time. Or you're going to be the person who gets the scratch-off ticket when the next one that's the winner is coming up. Which, again, begs the question, why does the universe want to fuck everybody else and you're so special? But the answer here would be, as in all manifesting things, you're so special because you focused and they didn't.
Right. So there is a little bit more of a background as to why you are the chosen one, which is nice, I guess. But it's not a great deal to work with.
No, not a lot. So when you, so say you're a new student, you get there. What you do is you're going to come right into the giant horse arena. You're going to pick a yoga mat. You're going to plop your stuff down. Immediately, there's like very loud pop music going. So you're getting jazzed up. You're in it. We've talked about this before. Music is manipulative, but if you're there to be manipulated, I guess I don't see the problem because it's what you signed up for. Guys, I was dancing while I was explaining that, but it made me hard to read. So I'm going to stop now.
Yeah, it's okay. I liked it. It was fun for me, guys. Let you go.
Yeah, have it. It was a great little show for Amarin. She needs a good show, you guys.
I do. I do. I demand it.
Mm-hmm. Once you're in, the schedule is rigorous. From dawn till dusk, people are activity, which is, again, what you paid for. So one would hope that is what they're getting. Most people sleep in the arena or camp outside, as we said. There are live lectures, not just from Knight, but from other staff members as well. There are a lot of video lessons from Knight because not a bad plan. As we just said, we don't want this gig. So Knight comes and appears. Actually, she doesn't much anymore, but historically she comes and appears and she does the channeling and she does like a really good solid show, but they're there for 6 days. And for the bulk of that, she isn't there. It's staff giving lectures or them watching videos that Knight has already recorded that get played over and over again.
See, no, I don't like that. Mm-mm.
I don't like it as a consumer, but I like it as a cult leader.
Oh no, it's a great business practice. I'll have to give that a thumbs up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Really works out for her. So then the music builds to a crescendo as students sit in the lotus position doing their CNE, which is a meditative breathing technique, which involves clenching the buttocks and thighs, followed by forced breaths that make the arena sound like a pit of snakes, all hissing in unison. The yoga thing, that makes sense. A lot of butt clenching, that makes sense. That doesn't surprise me because I think the idea is actually yoni clenching, right? Which does kind of like, we're talking about like your kind of kundalini base there. And there's a lot, there's a lot of science and also religious thought behind all of that. So makes sense that they're doing that. Some students tremble and shout with ecstasy. Also makes sense. After about 15 minutes, they don their rubber boots and rain jackets, collect two different cards with drawings of objects or concepts that they covet. So they've got two different drawings that they've personally gone like, this is the thing that I, you know, that I'm trying to manifest, right?
Right.
Then they proceed to a 2-acre fenced yard. They pin their cards to various places around on the edges of the fence. don their blindfolds, spin around, and then attempt to find their own cards using only their minds to guide them.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. And how does that go for them?
Well, it goes poorly.
Ah, okay. I was genuinely not sure what you were going to say. I was curious.
Yes. I will. So let's pause right here. We're getting toward the end of the inner school discussion anyway. What are your thoughts on this exercise? Okay, first I'll tell you, the outcome is mostly injuries ranging from bruising to concussions, because we are talking about hundreds of people who
right.
are all blindfolded, and arguably not all of them are good at focusing, especially since they're initiates.
Right.
So they're yeah. just literally all smacking into each other. I really can't stand the thought of it. I've had enough concussions that it sounds awful to me.
No, I think it sounds really pointlessly dangerous, which I'm not interested in, as you're saying, just because heads shouldn't be banging and clanging. And uh-oh. Also, I don't know, like I like elements of it, but I just feel like it's unnecessary the way that it's structured. And I know that's a little judgmental, but it's also like there are less dangerous ways to do this, right? Like I love a little psyche test, you know, like
I do too. That's
I like
what
if
I was
you
want to
walk around and be like, ooh, is this my card? I'll find it in the woods. I'm okay with certain parameters of that happening, but I don't think this is the best way.
Well, so what would you think of this if it were you alone in a fenced yard and you had to find your card? Would you? Because I think in that scenario where there aren't concussions threatening me, I don't think I'd be good at it. But I think like I would love it. That's exactly the kind of like
yeah.
I could get into flow that, you know, that my culty heart is like, yes, I am special and I can get into flow.
Oh,
and
yes.
I can find my index card. I think I'd be super into that. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I could get very into that given the right circumstance. I definitely, I don't know, like it would need to be just right, but I could get very into it for sure. I'm one to think like this if I need to be or if I want to be and the conditions work.
Yeah. It reads to me like, okay, this exercise reads to me as what it used to feel like to me to be an art teacher who didn't really prepare for my classes. And then I would just come in and be like, let's all paint sunshine. Today.
Sunshine today, guys.
Let's talk about yellow and mixing paints in the warm side of the color wheel. All right, here we go. You know, it just sounds, you know, like it just, it seems like a time killing exercise for a bunch of people who paid a bunch of money that you need for them to feel like they did something. So
yeah.
Let's all go spend 2 hours in the yard blindfolded looking for our index cards. What do you think the success rate is? Do you think anyone has blindly made it to their card?
Yes, I do. I'm a believer that someone has done it and they were really excited that time. But
aww,
I don't think
nice.
It's really happened much after that, if I'm being honest with you. It's hard for me to imagine.
Here's the other thing. Suppose you are within this class of 450 people, the one person who is the super focuser. How are you getting to your card? You're still getting bombarded by a bunch of blindfolded idiots smacking you around the whole time.
So
I don't know
true.
How you focus through that.
No, how would you? It's such a good point.
Guys, no. I just think like cult better. I think you're onto something here.
Please cult better.
Maybe do this in shifts.
Worth a try.
Yeah.
Consider it.
Think about it. Ramtha, who I'm sure can hear me because you're a 35,000-year-old
entity. Hey, Ramtha, listen up. Come on. Well, yeah, handling it all.
Shifts. Just hear me out. I'm trying to help you keep your cult culty. So just, you know. Putting it out there. All right. So yes, it generally ends with a lot of injuries and some hospitalization for the concussion.
Oh boy. Yes.
And then you end the night back in the arena having a dance party, which is really fun and cool. Now, here's another thing that commonly happens in the class, which really blows my mind, but maybe it's because I'm not a drinker. They have wine ceremonies. These are very common. Don't forget it's part of their not religion, that wine or alcohol or wine, I can't remember. I think it's just wine. Wine and tobacco, remember this, have something special in them.
Oh, yes, I do remember this. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So you can drink and smoke. It's like encouraged.
You should drink and smoke, in fact.
Which is, again, like I like a shakery kind of cult. So when there's any kind of like harmful drugs like nicotine, I'm like, what kind of shitty cult is this?
What is this? Yeah, absolutely. Fair of you.
So they have these wine ceremonies. This blows my mind. They've been going on there since 1996, and they're significant because students believe that the wine grapes were brought to Earth by extraterrestrials 450,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Here's what's interesting to me. So it tends to be an entire day of this. They call it a wine ceremony, but it's a drinking game.
Okay.
So everybody has an endless supply of wine. They've all got their red wine. Ramtha is on stage, / Jay-Z is on stage doing their thing. And every time Jay-Z drinks wine, you have to drink wine.
Oh, it's like a party game. Okay.
This is a 16-hour day. This is 16 hours of drinking wine when the Chandler on the stage drinks wine.
Oh, that sounds terrible. They've lost me completely. That honestly, I like to drink, honestly, but that sounds terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, I'm not against drinking. It just actually, like, it's not a moral stance for me. It's like, it doesn't work for my body. I think my levels of, like, anxiety and hypoglycemia meet in the sticky middle where alcohol just doesn't actually make me feel good. I wish it did. I like the taste of a lot of those things, but it's not my jam.
Well, yeah, it's better for you not to drink it anyway.
But because alcohol is so unfamiliar to me, it feels like it's even more shocking to me maybe than it is to other people. But the thought of a 16-hour day drinking wine when the leader drinks wine, just I can almost not think of a worse cult.
No, that's horrific. Can't imagine. Really gross stuff.
Yeah, here's just a side fact. Yelm's state-controlled liquor store has Yelm, remember, which is a population of 10,000 people in the entire state of Washington. Mm-hmm. Yelm's state-controlled liquor store has the highest sales of red wine in Washington.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. Also, the local paramedics are familiar with the compound specifically because they always get called into wine ceremonies for fucking alcohol poisoning.
I wonder why. Yeah. Oh, that makes sense.
Like for realsies, for alcohol poisoning.
Absolutely. Like, yeah, that's what will happen. There. Absolutely. Not hard to imagine.
Yeah. So that is kind of a day in the life on the farm. So you spend a lot of time blindfolded because you're blindfold archerying, and then you are blindfold mazing, and then you're blindfold wandering around in circles finding your index card. Then you're dancing to start and you're dancing to end. Then you have a day that's just devoted to alcohol poisoning. And then the rest is lectures.
Okay. Wow. That's terrible. Terrible is what that is.
It's different than your average day. But don't forget, you also paid for it, so you're not just
even worse. Okay, great. Cherry on top. I love to hear that, guys. Thank you.
And I did start this conversation off by reminding us that these are kind of NPR types. So I wonder, first of all, maybe they're predisposed to liking red wine.
Perhaps. That's possible as well.
But, you know, I wonder when they're there, because Ramtha's followers do tend to be, statistically more college educated, kind of on that end of the spectrum. I wonder how much of a departure the in-person experience feels to them, or if you're into the theology enough by the time you pay to go and travel there
that you're just willing to be like,
it's the next logical step.
That's a really good question. I'd like to know that myself. I'd like to know myself, because it seems like a situation where you go and you'd be like, I don't know. I don't know about this. But you never know based off what these people know ahead of time and what they're looking for in the community overall.
Mm. Curious. Let us know, people who have been to Ramtha. Somebody out there has been. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get over to the leavers and the believers. So we've got a little bit of each here. We're going to talk a little bit about people who have left and what they say post leaving. We're talking about disgruntled people, and then the people who are continuing to be true believers. So first of all, it's Rantha's group has a very strong us and them. So that makes leaving the group very hard and very isolating. And so there are groups out there for people who have left Rantha specifically. Yes. So, I mean, there's pretty much a group for most groups that you leave. There's a recovery group for having left that group. There's there's tons. Ex-Mormons, ex-Amish, ex-this, ex-that, ex-Nexium, certainly. So there's one for Rantha as well, or there are a couple, I believe, for Rantha. So let's hear a little bit from the defectors. But because of that, it makes the conversation very emotional and stilted.
Okay. Yes. You know,
and,
right. Yeah.
And also, if you're leaving Rantha, you really mean to leave Rantha, because otherwise you don't want to be a them.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to be the them.
Absolutely.
All right. So that said, let's look into a couple of defectors. One came to Rantha School in 1996 to study Knight during her channeling session. Oh, I'm sorry. This is not the defector. I started with the believer. So one of her followers, this is really interesting. He performed psychological tests to measure her disassociation and then attached electrodes to measure her skin temperature, her muscle tension, and brain waves as she began to speak as Rantha. So he came in as a pseudoscientist, right? He didn't come in as a follower. He came in to study her he wanted to see if he could measure whether she was really channeling. It's a little Ghostbuster-y.
Okay.
Right? So in Ghostbusters, when they're like doing the little experiments at the very first, and is there a triangle on the back of this card? Is there a circle on the back of this card? He's kind of that's kind of where the science is that he's. So what he wants to do is see if he can measurably say whether or not she is channeling this being, right?
Okay.
So he comes in, and I'll reread this. So he performed psychological tests to measure her disassociation, then attached electrodes to measure her skin temperature, her muscle tension, and brain waves as she began to speak as Rantha. So akin to a lie detector test.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like,
it's a good method.
It does, yes. And one would be interested to know the results. They said that the latter didn't work. She moved around too much as the warrior spirit to get any of her brain readings, but he saw notable changes in the skin and muscle tests. He says there was something we don't think can be faked. Her altered state when she becomes Rantha. Well, don't get too excited. I know.
Okay.
I'm always excited, but
excited.
I don't want to get your hopes
like,
up.
Get excited. Okay. I understand.
Calm down.
All
right. He says it indicated that she was going into some altered state of consciousness. He wrote up the study and presented the paper to the Parapsychological Association conference. And then he said that nobody ever followed up on it. Nobody was interested in it. And so, but his point, he wrote a paper saying there's enough alteration that she is in fact becoming a different being. Right. She is not a person who's faking it, where all of her, temperatures and all of those more subtle tells, they are in fact changing. She is in an altered state as opposed to, and then I don't know if it was him, because she invited other people to study her as well. And other people also found that she was in, she tested as slightly different when she was doing the channeling thing. But I don't remember if it was him or other people doing similar tests, but it also was said that she wasn't in a meditative state. So before we say yes, she's just meditating herself, they're saying that the tests show that she also wasn't in a meditative state. So he takes this as concrete proof. He has found a real channeler.
He's
caught
in.
Person is 35,000 years old. He writes it up to the scientific community, and then he is offended and irritated that they don't take it as science. So he says, he's not happy with their reaction. He says, they think she's running a cult. I disagree with that. There's a prejudice against people who are using these gifts for financial gain. Because, of course, she is making money. So it does change our perception.
What? Do you think there's something wrong with that? He says immediately at the front end when no one has said that. Yeah. So you?
Well, I think he's put a lot of his money in by now, so maybe he needs.
Yeah, he's thinking about it.
but he is a long time now. He is a long time true believer of hers. What's weird to me about this is that doesn't, to me, believing all the results that I can go, okay, all of your tests were exactly accurate. You did them all right. They showed what they showed. to me, it's not weird that you would slightly like self-trance and when you're presenting as a person who's in a trance and is, or who has left their body altogether and is channeling someone else. To me, it's not weird that your temperature might change and your heart rate might change when you are, especially after years into it, when you are being something else. To me, when I was attempting to speak in tongues like everybody else at my church, I was trying to get into that state, right? Like I acted on stage for years. When I played Helen Keller, I couldn't see anything because I was not focusing my eyes because I was trying to be a person who can't see.
Mm-hmm.
Did lead to some accidents, but
right. But it's very powerful, your own belief systems and how you're acting.
Quite. Mm-hmm. So in that way, she's proving her own point, right? Like she Absolutely. Believes she's channeling this thing, and maybe she does believe it after all these years.
It's it would possible be hard it does not have this to. It seems like it does have a big effect. But yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean that she's successfully channeling this entity by any means.
Yeah, I just don't know why believing all of his science and taking it as science, I still don't know why that would translate into, and so therefore Rantha is a 35,000-year-old man. I don't.
There's a leap there that like, seems yeah. unscientific. I'm not sure, but I can't help but feel some part of the process has been
a large
jumped.
Leap is what I'm saying. Not,
leapfrog
not a tiny
moment.
One over just no, a little puddle.
Not a small step for mankind, but a large, large leap there, factually.
Yeah, and that's with me being like, that's fine, sir. I believe all your results, you know?
Right.
So
I just
even
don't if I'm
know.
Buying into everything else.
It still doesn't spell that out to me. So it's interesting to me that he was like, obviously, this is my proof. So, but blessings on your path, sir. I hope you're enjoying your Rantha classes. So we do have lifelong true believers. And in fact, we have people who by this time have been raised under like have been there are children at these events. So they're like there are people who have grown up essentially with the Rantha ideology as their like belief system in the world.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
And we're going to get to one of those now. So here, one of the groups that exists. So now we're into the leavers. So one of the groups that exists for leavers is called Life After RSE or LARS. They posted an interview. Okay. Now we're going to get into the worst stuff here. They posted an interview that Jay-Z did that is super controversial and really like stopped and flipped a lot of their public perception and in fact even how they conducted themselves. A tape emerged and her detractors got a hold of the tape and made it public, and it was a real, oh. real bad tape in which she was talking a lot of real, real bad shit. So we'll get there. I'm about to get there, but I'll back up and just say it in reading an interview with him. He says that in this video, that also it's that she says that Rantha doesn't exist. One would assume this is during one of these wine sessions.
Right. One could connect such things.
Yeah. And then he says, this is a quote from him. He says, I met Jay-Z too fast. Once you meet Jay-Z, you know that Rantha isn't real. Which is to say, what he means by that is that he met the human.
Right.
And in meeting the human, he was like, this other thing isn't real. I know you as a normal, like a single mother of two. And so I'm already out of the Rantha thing. Now, this guy says, and I appreciate this guy's take on it. He says, I never saw Rantha do anything supernatural or extraordinary. He recalls when a woman suffering from cancer arrived at the school hoping to be cured. In front of everything, Rantha hugged her and told her that she was free of the disease. And he says, the whole school is a lie and that woman is dead. He says, I saw a lot of that going on and that always being the answer, but that wasn't the answer. He says about Rantha, I just feel sorry for her. She's got herself into this thing that she can't get out of. It's the rest of her life.
Ah, wow.
Yeah. He also says, Knight is a very charismatic person. You want to be around her. until you get to know her, he says. He says also, but she's a drama queen. As I said, a lot of her ex-followers say that she's a drama queen. He says she likes to have a lot of drama in her life. He says that he believes that she has a photographic memory. He says that having been in her house, because he was a follower for many, many years, he says that having been in her house, he's looked around at her books that she has laying open, and then he will later see Rantha quoting verbatim things that he saw in the open, like highlighted pages of the book.
Oh, so the prep work is visible here. There's a trail.
Yes, which again, if you were a true believer, you'd be like, whatever, Rantha liked that book. You know, like you can always have a way to believe
it. But if you have
it,
that seed of doubt, you're doomed there.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is what he says. He says, I met her too soon. So ultimately, he said, okay, so he says also, I'm just going to get through his quotes and then I'll get back on track here. He says, I think she reads and knows what she's doing and gets lost in being Rantha, which makes sense. He also said that sometimes he would see her where she was being Rantha, which don't forget presents male, intentionally presents male, right? Man smokes a pipe, says very male things. And then he says that he watched her long enough that when she was out in an event being Rantha, it would, hours would wear on and he would see her be very effeminate.
Mm, yeah, it would start to show.
Right, which is a tell when she is presenting that Rantha is male, aggressively male presenting.
Absolutely.
Rantha is like bro presenting.
Yeah. Right? Right. So it's pretty evident at that point that that's not maybe as legitimate as she has been pushing it to be.
Right, right. So he says the more tired Rantha gets, the more Jay-Z comes out. And then he says, while he admits he never believed that Rantha was real, he did learn plenty of things while attending the school. He says, I thought the philosophies were fantastic. I realized that you're never mad at anyone else. You're always mad at yourself. That's a very common New Agey teaching. But basically what he says in the interview overall, and he had a lot, this was a long interview and he's an interesting character, but basically what he says is that within weeks he didn't believe in Rantha, but he was a follower for years because he liked the teachings.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is the kind of cult leader, or not cult leader, cult member that I would be. That's how I felt joining the Amish. That's it. And I was gonna join for my whole life. Like I was sold out. I was in. And I never thought this is the only way to salvation.
Right.
I never thought that.
You just liked. Yeah. Yeah.
I was just like, yeah, that's fine. I like everything that's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about this volleyball in this blue dress. So, whatever 14 tenets of faith you need me to say, that's fine.
I'm on board. Let's go.
Yeah, I don't believe it, but I'll espouse it. It's not hurting anyone. Right? So,
right.
To me, like, I guess maybe I like him because that's the kind of cult member that I would be. Would you be that kind of cult leader or cult member?
I don't know. Maybe. I think, like, it would depend on the cult.
Would you join if you didn't believe it?
No, probably not. Not unless there were some really, really sweet perks, which it usually is not the case.
But his point is he still got a lot from the classes.
Right. But like, I don't mean to brag, but I don't know that I pride myself as someone that can find classes, if you will.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
That's what I'm kind of like, well, I, as a student of the world, I think I could find more classes, but that may be presumptuous of me.
Okay. No,
that's my initial thought.
You're absolutely right. These classes are multitudinous and available under many, many, many different wrappings. So certainly, as we know, because we just learned that Rantha is a plagiarizer. So
that does put a little tinge to it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Well, on to the next person. So former follower Virginia Cloverdale said that she learned, well, now Virginia did grow up as a kid under the Rantha philosophy. Her mother was in the group. Mm-hmm. Her brother was in the group. So Rantha was kind of like her worldview growing up. And she spent many, many formative years in the group. Not living there, obviously, but I think like being there quite a bit, like often attending events. So she says, we're more powerful than we realize. Our brain can do all sorts of things. Quantum theory. These things are what excited me and a lot of other people that got involved. Cloverdale said her family started following Knight more than 3 decades ago. She said members were encouraged to, here we go, drink a concoction of dead seawater mixed with red devil lye to enlighten themselves. She said that her mother and brother were among those who drank the lye concoction. She says this was not just a one-time thing. They were taking it for 5 years, and Rompa at one point told them to chug it. This was not a teaspoon in the morning. In the evening, people were losing their hair.
Okay. Don't like that at all.
No. A local physician confirms this. He said that he met many followers through his practice and was so concerned about the lye drinking that he wrote a letter to Thurston County Health Department warning that followers were getting sick. And he said even dying.
Okay.
Yes. A spokesperson for Jay-Z Knight denies that she had followers drink lye and characterized the allegations as innuendo and hearsay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Bold.
But Cloverdale said that the reason that they were drinking the lye is because when people are willing to drink poison for 5 years, it tells you that it's possible, right? So they were drinking. This is exactly the same as snake handling, literally. Like,
yeah.
Why are you handling snakes? Because I can. To prove that I have the power of God. God is keeping me safe. And I'm holding snakes. I'm drinking lye because it proves that it's possible. That's how mind over matter I am. I can drink lye.
Yeah, it's true.
Don't forget that in the 1800s, when people only had lye soap, women constantly had like serious chemical burns from working with lye. It's really dangerous.
It's a super dangerous thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I'm going to get back to what I mentioned previously. Jay-Z blamed Cloverdale, her follower, for all of this and said she was a big fat liar who, ding, 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 slept with Rompa's boyfriend and is a spurned lover. So basically, Rompa said, whatever, she's jealous. Because they fought over a man, they both slept with the same man, and the man went with the cult leader, not the cult follower.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So again, really gives credence to that drama queen claim that we mentioned earlier.
It's hard to feel like this is that ancient man energy to me, but I'm still listening, queen. I'm still listening, but it's bucking. The myth is bucking.
I would struggle. Again, I'm a person who joins cults with their eyes wide open. Like,
oh yeah,
this seems like a great cult to be a part of. I'm in. If my matriarchal cult leader were sleeping with guys who also the followers were sleeping with and like scrapping about it, I couldn't hang. I don't care how utopian it was. I would be like, you're ruining this for me.
Yeah. No, thank you.
I can't suspend this disbelief while you're banging randos.
Sorry, it's not going to work. It's a no.
Listen, I said yes to your weird pipe and your man spreading, and you have pushed me too far.
That's all. Yeah, that was all you got. That was all the leeway. So you're out of space.
Yeah, that's it. So let's move into that was some of the believers and the leavers. Let's move on into politics now, because initially Rompa / Jay-Z was a big Democratic donor. Shouldn't be a surprise that a new age kind of group with NPR type listeners would be all in for Democratic causes. And they were for a really long time.
Right.
Sent piles and piles of money to Democratic causes. Knight funded scholarships for local high school students and was known for substantial donations to local political candidates, most of them Democrats. Generally, the community's response to her, because she was giving money to like arguably good causes, was that she's a little bit weird, but everybody's got their thing and it's fine, right? She was ingratiating herself well to the community, and she was really down with some Democrats. At one time, Knight had contributed to Barack Obama's presidential campaign, but in the wake of the leak of the video I mentioned earlier, which we're going to get to in a moment, things shifted. In 2016, the school released a video of Rompa praising. Okay. Should I tell you about the video now? It's in the next. Okay, I'm getting it's in the next thing. So I will explain. A bad video came out where she said a lot of terrible things. In the wake of the bad video coming out, where she basically outs herself as like super bigoted, super racist, super sexist. It's awful. It's like when celebrities get like their drunken video put out and you find out like, you know, they use all kinds of racial slurs. That's what this is for her. So We'll get into the specifics of it in a moment because my next section is all the bad stuff they're accused of. But suffice it to say, in 2016, when that video came out, there was this abrupt switch. Now, remember, she has been a heavy donor to Democratic causes, including Barack Obama's presidential campaign. But in 2016, which you'll remember was the Trump election year, thanks a lot, Electoral College. The school released a video of Ramtha praising newly elected President Trump. It also referred to UFOs heralding his rise to power. During the pandemic, a giant Q briefly appeared on the school's gate. And we already know what that means because we just covered QAnon. Yep. And online blogs claim that Knight, quote, teams up with the conspiracy theory movement QAnon. The gate now has a printed sign denouncing vaccination mandates, asking about the vaccination status of anyone on this property will be met with civil litigation. Now get off my property.
Wow. That is pretty crazy. Wow. What enthusiasm.
Not a great look. Not an attractive cult. Now I don't want to join you at all. You have made this cult unattractive to me.
I'm out. Thanks. I'm all the way out.
All the way out. Yeah. So when the bad video that we'll get into more came out, it caused embarrassment to the local Democratic Party, and they had to they all divested of her money. They did what political parties do. They were like, oh, we're giving this to gay people. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So after that, the state Democratic Party rid itself of $70,000 in Knight's donations. She also had a prophetic vision in which she declared in her Ramtha voice that the, quote, the greatest misjudgment of character came when you all thought a woman should win this race. This, you'll recall, was a race against Hillary Clinton.
How fun of her to say that. And also, may I just take a small moment to say that one thing that ladies love to be doing is having revelations that are prophetic dreams or messages that be coming to them. I know that we have talked about this before, but one time this is not a whole story, but I literally quit a job because they were not paying me enough. And I was very forthright about that. And I was called into the very big owner's office. And she said to me, Amryn, I had a prophetic dream that you should not quit this job. I swear this happened. She was like, I don't want to get too specific, but she's like, I saw you as a mighty warrior with a bow in hand and you're like on the back of a horse. It was like a whole thing. She described the whole dream. It was a beautiful dream. Honestly, it was very like, if it was real, it would have been very inspiring. If I would have been something more than what I was as like the level of work I was doing, it would have really been rousing, but I'm not like a medieval knight. So it made no sense to give me this speech at all. It's just like, thank you, Deborah. Thank you. You know, like I literally said to her, like, I was so done with the job at that point. I was just like, thank you so much. I am going to quit, but thank you. Thank you. And I just kind of patted her hands and then I left. But yeah, that's what I need you to know is that ladies do be wanting to do this. So you guys have to be prepared.
Yeah.
With women of a certain age, and it could be any age, just to be clear. Certain age, any age. Watch out.
Yeah, Amryn's right, you guys. Take her advice to heart. So she had this prophetic vision where she says to her audience, now this is post, okay, so very, very Democratic and left-leaning, attracting NPR-type folks.
Yeah.
A video comes out showing her as nigh unto a Nazi. And then immediately she turns on a dime. The Democrats divest of her money, and she immediately just flips over and says, I am a part of QAnon. I am pro-Trump. I mean, she really does.
No.
And now all of her public speech is this. So she says to her audience, the greatest misjudgment of character came when you thought a woman should win this race. Smoking a tobacco pipe, she goes on attack. And this is, again, not even as bad as the other speech. This is just something she does now. She attacks the Clinton Foundation. She says the FBI was behind the leaking of Democratic Party documents to WikiLeaks. She says it was never Russia. you recall that Russia was nabbed for a lot of bad things, but she says it was never Russia. I don't know why these
never
people
Russia.
Russia so much. Okay. Rumpa predicts that Trump will receive the protection of UFOs while flying in his jet. And the first time he looks out the window, this is a quote, and the first time he looks out the window, when he sees two silver discs as escort, he is going to know it all. And this man who is not afraid, he is going to know it all.
Okay. Wow. So,
that was her political journey from the left to the right.
Okay. Interesting. Not expected on my behalf, but fascinating. Wow. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Interesting indeed. So now we're to the bad stuff. So we're going to talk about this bad video and the other things that come up for her. Now, I will trigger warning basically everything right now. So I didn't put in just like quote after terrible quote in here, but just what I do have is bad. It's any racist language you can think of. It's absolutely anti-Semitic. It's anti-gay. It's anti-Catholic, and it's anti-organic farmers. So
what?
If you're a part
Good
of any
Lord,
of those groups,
this is going to pack a punch. Okay, so we're going to brace ourselves, is what I'm hearing. I've got it. Sounds
All
good.
Right. So live stream videos of Rumpa's hate speech were posted to the web by ex-students Virginia Cloverdale. That's the one who they both banged, the same guy, and David McCarthy. And then by a libertarian leaning think tank. OK, so it was released by three separate groups of people, all of whom she sued and had this video pulled. Although why? I don't know, because after that, she just leaned right into it. So, OK, here's a quote. Truly. Fast forward a minute if you don't want to hear really offensive stuff. Okay, okay. I'm going to say it. And I'm
going to... Teeth are gritted.
I'm not going to say the bad words, but she says, F God's chosen people. I think they have earned enough cash to have paid their way out of the goddamn gas chambers by now.
What the hell?
Stunning.
Oh, I was ready for bad stuff. It was bad. Okay.
This was worse than you thought. I know. I know. And I am telling you, I'm not putting in the worst of it.
I'm
this
sure.
This was milder.
Mm-hmm.
Also, her audience kind of snickers through this whole thing, which is also really mind-blowing to me.
Oh,
so I don't
horrific.
Know at what point her audience has shifted over. Also, I wonder if she's following her audience's lead in what she's espousing. Because these people are snickering, which is... you wouldn't get from an NPR crowd. Those people would get up and leave and demand their
money
back. Absolutely. All right. So they're all giggling and laughing. And then she declares that Mexican people, I'm using better language, quote, breed like rabbits and are, quote, poison. That all gay men were once Catholic priests, which is an odd
What a claim. Map. I'm sorry to laugh, but that's very... compelling in that it has no sense or feet at all.
It's
right?
quirky. I'm going to call it quirky.
Yeah.
And that organic farmers have questionable hygiene. I mean.
Now, why did that need? Okay. All right.
I think she was just talking shit on
she
like
just has
quote,
beef with
hippie
everybody.
Types or like basically any like I think anybody who's going to be this racist and homophobic probably has a view of just like any kind of quote hippie type, right?
Certainly.
Like they're all dirty liberals, right?
It's so. On site with every single type of person that they're identifying is not what they think they're into.
Yes. Huh. All right. So it is a pirated video, but it is a direct video in which Knight, as the guttural voiced medium who channels, so she was being Rumpa when she said this. Let's see. These three places, oh gosh, it's just, I'm sorry, I'm trying to read around all the worse quotes and give you the information. Basically, the three different entities that put this video out, she sued all of them and she got the video quashed, but it had already been out. It's already easily confirmed. Plenty of people have seen it. So it was pretty stunning. And so it's not available to see now, but all the quotes from it are, and certainly enough people saw it that it's not a question. Some of Knight's students were recently quoted as claiming that they themselves are gay, Jewish, or Mexican, and denying that their leader is a racist. I'm sure that all those people do exist inside. That's always the case, right? There are those people inside the MAGA movement as well. I don't know what they're doing there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a phenomenon I can't put together for the life of me. Women voting against their own best interests. You know, I'll never understand why people do that. But it's strange to me that people still use that as their flex, right? Like, well, I'm Jewish and I'm a part of this. Like, okay, but she still said that. Now we're just talking about you. Like, this isn't about whether she'll cash your check, friend. I don't like.
Yeah.
So in 2004, three members of the RSC produced a controversial film that combined documentary interviews and a fictional narrative. Okay, let me back this up because we've just bumped into Nexium. In 2004, three members of RSC, so followers of Ramtha, members of the school, produced a controversial film that combined documentary interviews and a fictional narrative to posit a connection between science and spirituality called, do you remember the name of it?
No, I don't.
It's okay. It's What the Bleep Do We Know?
Oh, okay. Yep, now it rings. And now the bells are ringing. Okay.
Made by one Mr. Mark Vicente of Nexium fame. So I don't know why I didn't put this together sooner, because Ramtha is prominently featured in What the Bleep Do We Know. Did you watch that?
No, I haven't. That's why I'm not as in the clear here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I did, and I loved it. Duh. Of course I did. This is exactly who I am. So What the Bleep Do We Know is like a whole bunch of pseudoscience, but it's a whole bunch. It would be described as being about physics, right?
Right.
And all the ways that physics at this point, even though we know like a fraction of what there is to know about physics, what we've learned in the last century is nigh unto magic. Right. Mm-hmm. Like physics are amazing. The fact that you can manipulate one particle that's been paired with another, but they've been separated like from the North Pole to the South Pole.
Oh, it's fascinating.
And then that particle on the other side of the planet still responds in tandem with the one that you separated from. Like, that's physics, you guys. That's fucking crazy. And it's that kind of thing that feeds this belief system that you can tap into that, like, there is so much wisdom at an atomic level. I was going to say cellular, but like at an atomic level, there is so much connection and there is so much wisdom. And then we have string theory, which they do get into in What the Bleep Do We Know. All of these things that like what the Bleep Do You Know even posits that you can travel backward in time because of string theory. There's just so we barely know anything about the world of physics in the universe. And yet what we know is fascinating and inexplicable and so outside of what we thought the world was like that we don't even know how to apply it yet or what it means to us to know it. Right.
Right. It's very well said.
Thank you. And so What the Bleep Do We Know is, it's another The Secret kind of show, and it's actually filmed very much like The Secret in that there's a shit ton of vignettes, like little tiny skits and a very loosely threaded sort of fictional narrative that like tie a loose story together while giving us like 8 million different facts through the narrative about physics.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
So, that sounds very interesting.
Yeah. It's a terrible movie to have to watch. It's the acting is awful. The plot line is forced and thin and unbelievable.
Imaginable for me. Okay.
So it's actually pretty painful to watch, which is why I haven't rewatched it. However, the countless physics lessons, which the plot and the terrible acting are just a vehicle to hand us all the physics lessons. They're fascinating and they are inspiring. And when you see all these amazing things that the universe is unfolding to us in real time right now about string theory and the fact that it's probably true and what the fuck does that mean? And what are the implications of that? And what does it mean about how much power do I have in me? Like probably a lot more than I realize. If my atomic level is so in tune to everything else, right?
So, yeah, absolutely.
So watching What the Bleep Do You Know much like watching The Secret, but probably even more so because The Secret is entirely woo-woo and What the Bleep Do You Know is supposed to be scientific-ish. It is quite inspiring. And it's quite like, man, my potential is endless. Wow, The universe has so much to it. There's so much there. So I liked watching What the Bleep Do You Know. I recommend watching What the Bleep Do You Know, but maybe like get a crochet project because like
you
do have to sit through the bad acting and the bad plot and all of that. So
Fair enough.
All of that. I think that applies here because what's interesting about that, first of all, I loved it, but then here's a quote from the American Chemical Society. They said it was a pseudoscientific docudrama. Let's see. One person. Oh, there's just I won't read all the bad reviews, but it got a lot of bad reviews. And it also said that a lot of the science was flat out wrong.
Oh, OK.
Yeah. Which really bummed me out because then I was like, oh, now there's no point in my loving it because I don't know what's right and what's wrong in it. I just was taking it that they'd researched it. So that bummed
me out. Is a letdown. Science can be kind of tricky, though. People do disagree with each other sometimes. So maybe there is some room for more legitimacy than you'd think, but I don't know. I'll have to look into it. We'll have to see.
Maybe, but my suspicion is that they just like took some facts and ran with them in whatever direction they thought sounded fun, because I'm going to remind you, this film was made by Mark Vicente, who was apparently, let's pull back the lens and remember that this is Cults I Join, and we're always joining fun, zany, wackadoo, potentially dangerous cults. And we have already spent countless hours over at Nexium. And now we find out that one of the top recruiters for Nexium before Nexium was a follower of Ramtha and was heavily involved in this school that we're talking about now.
Well, we may be cracking a code here about the prevalence of the same types of people joining these types of groups. because of this.
Yeah. Yep. So
that's the string theory.
I think Mark and I would probably get along because it sounds like he's a fellow serial cult joiner.
It seems like he's a track record. I love it. Yeah, he's legitimate in that way. It's funny. I've never heard him. I mean, it's not that funny because I don't listen to that much he says, but it's funny that I've never heard that associated with him before. That's a very interesting fact.
Well, I think that's very specific because you will note that this is before her Nazi rant.
Yes, that's a good point.
I would guess was maybe the point of falling out.
That could have been a real thorn in the relationship immediately, I would guess, if Mark knows anything about anything. So
I'll say this for him. He is a quite liberal seeming, again, very much I would peg him as an NPR kind of a guy, right? Very educated, very reasonable, very even keel, right? Even when his wife was like, holy shit, man, we're in a cult. He was like, no, boo boo.
No, we're not. That's crazy, boo boo. Everything's so cool here, baby. Yeah, absolutely not, sir. We remember.
Of course, he found Nexium chill because he came out of Ramtha.
Which he came out of Ramtha.
A 35,000 year old being channeled by a woman who's chain smoking and forcing everyone to play 16 hour drinking games with her. Can you imagine how innocent and innocuous Keith Raniere must have looked to this man, his number one male follower?
I suddenly understand everything because, yes, it's 100% easier to believe and get all gung-ho on this situation whenever you don't know that, you've not seen what the good is. You've only seen like the worst version of community and cult, it seems like. Poorly constructed. So how are you going to know?
Nexium must have seemed like such a better organization than Ramtha, where the leader is like, again, banging all the dudes in competition with her followers. Right. The comparison. It's interesting because, like, you know, he was in that whole 6-episode arc of documentary by HBO about his experience leaving Nexium. And he never contextualized for that for us. He never said to us, like, well, you see, I started out in this crazy cult. And this actually, by comparison, seemed really tame and reasonable to me, which would have made perfect sense. But I think he didn't, because I think he is politically and socially aware enough, because the timeline of Nexium is very much after she was outed as like basically a Nazi. And then for him to go like, well, I used to follow this Nazi. I used to be into the basically.
Listen,
the
guys,
right.
It's not that bad if you understand that I used to follow a Nazi lady. Okay. Have you considered that?
So he didn't contextualize it for us. And so we're all like, what's this seemingly?
I see now. Now that I've said it out loud, I completely understand why this is a branding choice that he had made. Yep. I'm like, yeah, you could never have owned up to this. You made the right choice.
I also really get why he hung on, even when his beautiful, talented singer-songwriter / starred in the Star Wars movies, has action figures modeled after her wife, when she was like, yo, we're in a cult, we gotta go. And he was like, no, I don't think so. I'm gonna hang in. And he hung in with his fingernails to the last minute that he possibly could.
Yep.
This is no longer surprising, too, because can you imagine in his private moments him being like, this cannot be happening again.
I thought I had got it this time.
I cannot have wasted another decade in another bad cult.
That's honestly the best possible thing I can imagine. And it's a really funny picture for me. In fact, it kind of looks like that meme of the dog sitting in the room that's on fire drinking a cup of coffee. I imagine it's like that inside his brain. This is fine. This is fine. Exactly. Exactly.
I have not spent a second decade in my life.
Amazing. I love
following
that.
A worse cult leader than the Nazi I left.
Listen, this is not what I was here for. I honestly am not open to this feedback. No. No.
Can you imagine the alarm bells that went off in his head when Sarah told him what was going on with him? Like,
yeah, it was over for him. He was, yeah, it's full panic mode. Mm-mm. Wow.
Again.
Poor guy.
How much self-talk did he have? Like, Mark,
you've done it this time, haven't you?
Why are you like this, Mark Vicente?
These are the questions.
Yeah, so that's the crossover. We're back at Nexium again with Mark Vicente, who was a full-throttle follower of Rantha. And now that I'm looking back, did heavily feature her in his very famous documentary, What the Bleep
There Were Signs. There were signs. There were symptoms.
I ran right. Per usual, I ran past all the red flags.
Amazing.
Yes. So, another follower of Rantha is an Irishman named, I might say this wrong because there are a lot of punctuations added to this name, but I'm going to say it's the Irish version of Michael Ledwith, a former Monsignor in the Catholic Church, advisor to the Pope. He resigned abruptly from the Catholic Church in 1994 after allegations of, surprise, pedophilia, settled out of court, and he was defrocked by the Vatican in 2005. So long stretch before his defrocking, but he left the church in 1994. Okay. Surprise, he is now a longtime part of Knight's Inner Circle.
Ah, okay.
Yes. And another place where there are a lot of kids, I'm just going to add. Not that I'm genuinely not making any accusations, but that's a bad setup.
It is. No, it's not a safe place to have him. No.
Yes. No. Here's another quote from Knight that's another bad one. She says, F Jehovah. It's always Rantha saying these things.
Oh, that's a good distinction. Okay.
F Jehovah. And then went on to out Jesus as a fellow alien who came to this planet to basically teach the same things as Rantha.
Okay.
And then the defrocked Catholic priest who's in her inner circle follows that, coming on the stage and denouncing the biblical God as, quote, fickle, capricious, psychotic, neurotic, and insecure. Are we supposed to believe that he is the creator God? Implying that it's probably our religion should be Rantha instead. Yes. So that's just one of her inner circle, which I think is notable. I'm basically just making a list of the criticisms of the organization at this point. Also, she is really, really into prophecies. So you can actually go to their website and it's pretty interesting. There are like pages and pages and pages of prophecies. They're almost entirely, okay, I would say half of them right now are vaccine focused. They're really against vaccines, and it's all a lizard people conspiracy. They're also really into lizard people, and the world is going to end. In fact, they've already prophesied that the world was going to end, and then the date missed, and then they have to keep going. But I will say a small compliment to Rompha. She tends not to date her prophecies.
Okay.
A better idea as
thumbs up
prophecies go. Yeah. Let's see. So she has a prophecy that unless students remain faithful to Rompha, they will become the prey of the lizard people, and that the ancient figure of Jehovah would return to Earth accompanied by laser people in a spaceship to basically punish everybody who isn't on board with the Rompha theology. Right. Here's another one. They say that in the so-called, quote, days to come, which are like the last days, there are prophesied earth changes. Instructions reputed as coming from Rompha were given to the students, telling them to leave the cities, find a place in the country to grow their own food and become sovereign. It's not a coincidence that they use the word sovereign. They're all about the sovereign citizens. Or self-sufficient. Another instruction told students to build underground shelters to protect themselves and their families. One evening, Knight suggested that all the students should stay at the school overnight because she said it would be good for the energy. That was before the arena had been covered over with the astroturf we mentioned earlier. That's why I was surprised, because I remember this description as being a dusty floor. So this was when it was still a dusty floor and there was a lot of dust in the air. A very old woman among the students had begged to not be made to stay there, had said she wanted to go home and come back the next day. But Rompha said that they could stay and that the spirit of Rompha would protect her and be her bodyguard. Surprise, Rompha didn't stay there overnight.
Right.
The old woman died of pneumonia due to the dust in the air and the humidity. So a lot of bad happenings just based on kind of bad faith, in all honesty, just things like that. Things where you go no, believe in me and not your intuition. And now you have pneumonia. This isn't in my notes, but this is in one of the many podcasts I listen to and interviews that I read and listened to on YouTube. I don't know why this doesn't come up more in the printed word, but her ex-husband, I believe the one who gave her the name Knight. She has several. I think this is the one. But one of her ex-husbands, in fact, died of complications from AIDS. They think that he contracted it post their divorce, so it doesn't have anything to do with her directly, but he believed her teachings. And so when he was diagnosed with HIV, he did not get treatment, which is why it ballooned. Because he was I think it was in the 90s, so treatment was more spotty, more hit or miss, but he didn't seek any treatment at all. And so there was no way it wasn't going to balloon.
Yep, that's very sad.
Yeah, super sad. In 1990, there was an incident in which about 1,000 blindfolded students were directed to split up and run across the field with their hands in the consciousness and energy position in front of them. And the exercise was meant to help the students overcome their fears. People crashed into each other and there were many injuries. Some people were sent to the hospital. So
they love these events, these crash into each other and get sent to the hospital type of events. They're big fans.
Well, blindfolding is their go-to move.
It is.
That is actually everything that I have on my notes for Rompha. Essentially, if we were going to pare it down to the good and the bad, if we must label things as such.
Sure.
The good would be that people don't live there, so it's lower risk, although you are spending a lot of money to go to climb the ladder of the classes. I guess you wouldn't call this a fat bottom girl because people aren't outselling the content. It's all going to Rompha. And coming from Rompha. So I guess that's nice that there's not a pushing, a selling element to it,
right.
But you are spending a lot of money to climb the ascension ladder here. I think that the teachings, were they not carried to such extremes? Oh, there was another, I read somewhere that because you do hear several reports of ambulances constantly having to come out there for alcohol poisoning and concussions. So interestingly, as much as Rompha hates vaccines and doesn't trust the, the government and doesn't Rompha does rail against modern medicine and technology and all of these things. However, Rantha does specifically say that people should seek a regular doctor when they need a regular doctor. And Rantha says, I like this one core belief. Rantha says that if you need a doctor, you should go see a doctor because, yes, you have the power to heal yourself. But if you can't manifest a loaf of bread in your hands, then you probably should not count on yourself manifesting.
That's some solid advice. Yes.
I actually really like that. And I say that to say if her teachings would just stop there the way that that stops there, yeah, I would actually, you know, join the club.
Yep.
That's because I don't mind the manifestation teachings. You know, yeah, if they would parcel out the running exercises and the blindfold exercises so that people stop crashing into each other, I'd be down for that. I'm definitely doing some blindfolded archery. I can't see any downside to that.
Nothing wrong with it. I can't see a single thing that is not okay with that when the blindfold is on. I'll just say that.
Yeah. But interestingly, as not just a leader, but also as an organization, they made this bizarre, just like hit the brakes, right turn, almost U-turn on not just their political stances, but a lot of their like their vibe, I'm going to say, for lack of a better word. Right. Like, so they went from being very like new agey, like we're all dressed in white, we're all feeling out our vibes, to like, you can't get off my property if you want to talk about vaccines. And
it's very a big escalation.
And very UFO and very lizard people. It's a strange turn to make, and they're committed to the path. So
yeah,
that's where Rantha stands today. And now we know more about Mark Vicente. Amarin,
pull back.
Are you joining Rantha's School of Enlightenment?
Not even a little bit. This one didn't really ever have me. It's tough because like I said, many times there's a lot of aspects like you were just pointing to that I am not opposed to. I even like, and I'm like, ooh, a little potential here for something that I could be very into, but they're never really doing it right. Unfortunately.
Yeah, they don't stick the landing.
No, they never stick the landing. And Jay-Z is almost all of the problem, but Jay-Z is also the person that's embodying the entity. So I could see that being just kind of a deal breaker, frankly. I can imagine that Jay Zebra and I just wouldn't have what it takes. I'm a Leo, as some may know. So I'm just not going to be able to vibe with another woman with that kind of confident energy in the room is what I'm trying to tell you in the most polite of terms.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will say this. Given my research, I'm less likely to join. But again, I did watch both the original Secret and What the Bleep Do We Know when they came out. And I remember being struck by Rantha specifically in these things and thinking like, who is this weirdo? I want some more of her. Like, okay. I was like, how can I go hang out with this chick? I'm into
like that.
I think she was sitting on a weird throne that I really liked. And I remember,
thrones,
I think a lot of
are everything. Yes.
You know how I feel about aesthetics. And
of
so
course.
I think that actually in retrospect, a lot of my intrigue might have been about the throne.
Yeah. I could see that, and no one can fault you for that. Yeah. I understand.
But
completely.
I'll just say, like, in doing this research, it's easier for me to be like, I don't want a concussion. I'm not joining this school. But But I can tell you in the early aughts, I myself, this girl right here, saw Rantha speaking and was like, how do I get to her doorstep? I'm into this.
I'm interested. Give me a ring. Drop me a line. Yeah. Okay. I definitely, that's a valuable insight because it's hard being somebody that's being totally exposed to this just auditorily while we're doing the podcast. You know, I don't have the full angle that you could probably get from the kind of exposure that you have. So it's a valuable perspective. And I like that you felt that level of intrigue. That definitely tells us that there is that level of appeal. You know, there is that level of charisma. So it's good to know.
That's how she would say it, by the way.
He's great. Charisma. Yeah. Great. I'm glad I'm nailing that aesthetic. That's just something I love to hear about myself.
Now, let's get into cult aesthetics. There isn't much of one here, except that, okay, so we can talk about Rantha's aesthetic, which, again, is a lot of filler, a lot of blonde hair, some coiffed bangs. Not poofy like the 80s, but like definitely there was like a straight iron and some hairspray involved.
Yeah.
Let's see. She does like horses.
I do like a horse.
We like a horse girl.
Horse girls are in. I guess.
Ideologies. I don't think she has tattoos, but I think if she did, they would be the conflicting ideology tattoos. That's a problem. And then I think that people have a tendency or used to all dress in a lot of black for the events. That's what I've seen pictures of.
Well, I do like an all black outfit.
I do too. I do too. You can't go wrong with it. So those are the aesthetics that I know of, although for the most part, people are just wearing whatever they wear. So where are we on cult aesthetics? I'm going to remind you, she has a top notch throne.
Considering the top-notch throne, having not seen it myself, I'm feeling in my heart of hearts a 4. That feels generous. I just, they're in a beautiful area. I can imagine the setting is not awful, not anything you need to waggle your fingers at. I like the all-black thing. I like the throne perk. I don't hear anything too big of a turnoff. I definitely think that I like the blindfolded archery. That alone sounds like a vibe aesthetically. And now, not safety vibes, but otherwise.
And now you're dressed all in black as well.
That makes it worse and better, I think. So that's good. I don't want to give him too much credit because obviously there's just not like a lot to work with. And we talk about some really exceptional groups. So we got to leave the ceiling up there high. But I think 4. Yeah. I think 4. What about you?
Well, I'm going to give him a 5 because the throne has haunted me for.
And that's, you know, you're right.
Two decades. Yeah. So
you got to show your due diligence to the throne that's hung over you in this way. Okay.
Yeah. Also, like, smoking a pipe is a real commitment to a bit. So.
Amen. What if she's just addicted to nicotine on a big level?
She's made it part of her religion.
It's a possibility that that's what's fueling all of this. It's not. I'm not saying it's a likely conspiracy, but that's when I float to the team, right? Maybe this is all nicotine fueled. It's a strong drug. I'm not even kidding about that part.
For me, it would be nachos. If I were like channeling a deity and I was like trying to think of like a visual prop that I could always have that the deity that says like this is the deity talking now, it would be nachos.
Perfect.
Loves nachos. Therefore,
the deity always has a Slurpee in her left hand.
Okay. So I'm nachos, you're Slurpee?
That's right. We're the convenience store gods, I guess.
I was just going to say, we're going to have a great date sometime.
We've got a cute, cute thing going on over here.
I'm excited about this.
That's really good stuff right there.
Okay. So, So we've got a 4 and a 5 on the aesthetic score. Last one is the zaniosity, wackadooiness. Where are you at? 1 to 10.
Yeah, not that wacky, not that zany. Have to give quite a few points for the commitment to the bit, though. And I say commitment midly because I also understand that there's the faulty accent and
she keeps dropping the accent.
And she's not doing the greatest job ever. She's giving kind of high school theater level performance and not one that's bound for a good school. So for that reason, I may go 5. We again with the ceiling is so high with us, like I can't give her too much because it's like, baby, we're cooking with fire at Cults I Join, you know, like we got some wackadooey theology going on.
Speaking of giving high school play vibes, I was in a high school play once that was it was a musical, therefore I was not allowed to be at the helm of it, and it was it just didn't get off the ground, and it was just like really shitty. And like even like the set changes, you know, like the lights go down and you're supposed to like grab a chair off and put a table on and the lights come back up, but it would like be like lights down, 2 minutes go by, people are bumbling around trying to move stuff. Like it was just the worst play ever.
Okay.
And at some point an ambulance went by in real life, like went past the school. And somebody in the audience goes, "Thank God, maybe they're coming to save this play."
Oh, no, not the audience interaction we were looking for.
That's exactly the vibe I think of when Ramtha like keeps coming in and out of the accent. Like,
oh, my God. Exactly the energy.
So, yeah, I guess on wackadooiness, I give it a relatively low scale as well. Although creativity points for sure. A, for saying that you put a pyramid on your head and a 7-foot, 35,000-year-old male deity from a questionable continent shows that's some chutzpah.
Mm-hmm.
I I did more research between these two episodes and realized that the level of dire poverty she grew up in was even more than I realized. And I think that that level of desperation to claw her way out of this really motivated her. So
that's an interesting thought. Yeah.
I wonder how much premeditation went into this entire thing. But anyway, way to commit to the bit for decades upon decades, and a creative start to your career.
Certainly.
Jay Zebra. Yeah. So wow. I'm going to give you a 6 just because, like, this was a long arc. You had a good run. So I'm going to give you a 6. That and, again, the blindfolded archery. I can't get enough of it. Okay. So we're not going to join this cult. However, Ramtha, you have haunted my dreams for years with your excellent choice in Thrones. So keep that shit up, girl.
That's right. That's right. You know, you've got certain markets cornered, and Throne is not an easy market to get. Mm-hmm. So you need to really flex on your assets is what my advice would be.
I would divest of the Nazis.
Get rid of them. I'll tell you what, that's hurting your brand in the biggest way possible. I don't know how to tell you this in a way that hasn't been told you a million times, but that's not an association we need to keep anymore. That's
Can
just,
you imagine like whoever her like social media manager was like, no girl, no.
Queen, what the hell? Yeah, no, it was a dark time for many PR reps and social media workers and everything during that. It was just a dark, dark period of time. I think it's still going on, just to let everybody know, unfortunately.
Yes, for sure.
But it was, I think, worse then in the eye of the storm. So,
I mean, that's when the left turned, like, we were, like, all those people were, like, hanging a sharp right in real time. And all of these people along for the ride were like, what? You do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, shout out to you, Ramtha. Congrats on your retirement. Congrats on a really long possible grift or channeling of this entity. Blessings on your path. And for those of you who are in Ramtha School of Enlightenment, we hope that you are wearing some safety headgear and enjoying your time. Let us know if there's anything we need to know about the school that we don't know, because we're super into learning more about it. Let us know what you're wearing these days, what you're eating these days. Watch out for alcohol poisoning. And those of you who have left, also reach out. Let us know what you were wearing, what you were eating, the important stuff. This is what we need to know.
Only the essentials. Yep.
Other than that, Amryn the Wise.
Yes.
I wish you well on your path.
And thank you. I wish you well this day in your time.
In your time, I say namaste.
Namaste.
Hey, friends. If you are loving Cults I Join and want to help us share the fun, here are some actions you can take. Subscribe and share the show on any podcast platform. Rate and review us on Google. This keeps us visible and gives an angel its wings. Or at least that's what our guru says. Follow us at Cults I Join on the .com, the Facebook, and the Insta, and then hit us there with all your comments, discussions, and questions. We really do love hearing what you think. Finally, a huge thank you to our co-creators. Editing and post-production is by DivaWeb, and the biggest thanks to the incomparable Miss Devin Spruill, our theme song creator and performer. You should go soak up her music right now. And that's it, y'all. Thanks for listening, and happy culting!